Let's return to the book of Revelation this morning. Our text is Revelation 5, and you'll find that on page 1918. In the Black Pew Bibles, page 1918, Revelation 5. Because Revelation 4 and 5 belong together, let's read again the text we had last week. Revelation 4 is on page 1917. See the entire scene of the throne room in heaven. Revelation 4. This is God's word. May He bless it to our hearts and lives. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirit of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." In our text, chapter 5, "Then I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And when He had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because You were slain. And with Your blood You purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped." We end our reading here. May God again bless this word to our hearts and lives, dear people of God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as Jesus calls John up to heaven to see what lies ahead for the church here on earth in her trials and tribulations, and to give us a view from above, a view of the triumph that's coming. As John is caught up in the Spirit in a vision to the throne room of God, he comes to the central item in the vision, the book, the scroll. And he comes to the central issue of the whole book of Revelation. What's in that book? What's in that scroll? And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in the coming weeks and months to read ahead through the book of Revelation to help you prepare to know what's in that scroll and what's coming for the church. Because you'll find that the rest of the book of Revelation goes back to this scroll and what's in it. It's all about what's in the scroll. The scroll is sealed with seven seals. So the next part of Revelation is the opening of the seven seals. When the seventh seal is opened, suddenly we have seven angels with seven trumpets. When the seventh trumpet is blown, suddenly we have seven bowls of the plagues of God. And through these seven, three sets of seven, we come to the rest of the book, the end of the book, and that is hell for the wicked, the new heavens and the new earth for the righteous. And that's the rest of the book. And it's all contained in this scroll. And so this scroll really is what the book is all about. What's in it? For the church to overcome. That scroll has got to be opened. And its contents have to be unleashed upon the world. Just like in order to receive the inheritance that your parents leave you, the will has to be opened up and read, and its contents unleashed upon your life. And if will isn't opened up and read, it all stays locked up, the inheritance. Well, so also for the church. If the scroll can't be opened, the plan of redemption that God has for the church stays locked up. And so that question of the angel at the beginning of chapter 5, verse 2, who is worthy to open the scroll is everything. Who is worthy to open the scroll? If there's no one worthy to open the scroll and to be the executor of God's will for his church, there's no hope. But there's somebody worthy to open the scroll. There's all hope and victory of overcoming. Well, we want to see two things here. There is someone worthy, the worthiness of the Lamb. And because he's worthy, the world worships him, the worship of the Lamb. The worthiness of the Lamb, verses 1 through 7, and the worship of the Lamb, verses 8 through 14. While John sees five things here in this first half of the chapter, first he sees a sealed scroll. John's attention in the vision by the Spirit is drawn back from the outer fringes of worship to the blazing center again, to the glorious God and his throne. Then I saw in the right hand hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll. He's drawn back to the center of heaven, the majestic, mighty, faithful, covenant-keeping God who delivers his people from their enemies. And he's undeterred by the troubles of the world, that sea of glass that's below the throne, that's the floor of heaven's headquarters. And then John sees in the right hand of him who's on the throne a scroll. And the scroll has writing, you notice, on both sides. And it's sealed with seven seals. It's got writing on the front of the page. It's got writing on the back of the page. You say, what's this scroll? Why is it described like this? What's written on it? And we have three other examples in the Bible of documents that are written on the front and the back. First of all, the Ten Commandments, written on tablets of stone, are written on the front and the back, the Bible says, with the finger of God. And then in Ezekiel 2, we have the scroll that the Lord gives to Ezekiel through an angel. And that scroll is written both on the front and the back. And Ezekiel has to eat that. And it's the message that he is to deliver to Israel and the nations, a message of judgment and victory for the people of God. And then in the book of Zechariah, we have a flying scroll in chapter 5. And it's got writing on both front and back, a scroll with curses written against God's enemies. And when you look ahead and see what comes from this scroll in the rest of the book of Revelation, you realize that it's God's plan and promise. On the one hand, for the deliverance of His church and the judgment of His enemies. And so the church's victory, her blessings, her overcoming, our salvation is tied up in the contents of the scroll. But also the defeat of Satan and all God's enemies is sealed up in this document. It's all in there. It's more than a book that just tells the future, this scroll. It's a book that unleashes the future, again, like a last will and testament. Most of you have a will. It's a legal document that states where your possessions will go after you die. And after you die, authorized executors will open the will and they'll read it. And when they read it, its contents will go into effect. Imagine if you can't find the document, or if for some reason you can't open it. Then your inheritance remains locked up. And so that's the second thing we see in chapter 5, is not just a sealed scroll, but a weeping John, representing a weeping church, a weeping of despair. You understand then why John was weeping so inconsolably. Look at verses 2 and 3. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept. The Greek is, I just kept on weeping, weeping, weeping. I just couldn't stop. Because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. There's no one anywhere worthy to open it. No one with authority from God to unleash the blessings of the covenant upon God's people and the curses of His covenant upon His enemies. Why not? Why was there no one worthy? Nowhere, anywhere in the universe. It's because of our sin. Congregation, because of our sin, we've lost our right to the blessing of God's kingdom. We've lost our right from being protected from God's punishment and God's judgments. And so there's no hope for heaven. If we're to find somebody worthy from among us to unleash the inheritance of God's promises, of God's redemption plan, there's no hope for overcoming. There's no hope for heaven. There's only despair and only death. And the inheritance of God is closed to us and sealed from us. And it also means the kingdom of darkness will win. Satan will overcome us all. And the promise of Jesus in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against her." That promise can't come true if no one is found worthy to open the scroll. You see, congregation, unless sin is conquered and unless God's punishment and curse are destroyed, we have no access to the inheritance, to the blessings that God has prepared for His children. We're like Adam and Eve. We're sent out of the garden, right, with a flaming sword, guarding the gateway. And we have a closed door to heaven, and we have a closed scroll to the inheritance. And so John wept and wept. But then there's the third thing he saw. The good news of the lion. Then John heard incredibly good news. We read that in verse 5. "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.'" I love it that it wasn't one of the angels that said this to John. It was one of the elders, a representative of the church triumphant in heaven, who by personal experience has overcome through the blood of the Lamb, and is joined to the conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he shares that good news he experienced personally with John and the church on earth. Don't weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. He's triumphed. Someone has conquered sin and death and judgment, and he's worthy to take and open the scroll. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and that's a name for Jesus Christ. And there's one other place where Jesus is called a lion. If you go back to the first book of the Bible, please turn there with me to Genesis 49, and you'll see one other place in the Bible where Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, where Jacob is blessing his 12 sons. And in Genesis 49, he gives this blessing to Judah. If you go to Genesis 49, verses 9 and 10, here's what Jacob, inspired by the Spirit of God, says of Judah, his fourth son. 49 verses 9 and 10. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he, Judah, crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Who is that he, until he comes to whom it belongs? Who is the one who has the obedience of the nations? It's the Messiah. Who's the one that's got the ruler's scepter? It's the Messiah, Jesus, who's coming from the line of Judah, the tribe of Judah. And he's the one who's a lion, verse 9. Well, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has come. And he's triumphed. The word is he's conquered. Same word that's found in all the promises of the letters to the seven churches. He who overcomes, or he who conquers. In other words, we are able to conquer because of the Messiah who went before us to conquer our sin and death and punishment. Think about that. All that keeps you out of heaven and holds back from you the promises of redemption in that scroll. All that keeps God away from you because of your sin. Jesus came and conquered that. He destroyed it. And he earned for you all the salvation that packed in this scroll. And he has the right to open it and read it and unleash it upon your life. And he's also, it says here, the root of David. And that's a promise from Isaiah 11. He's a branch from David's tree. So he's a son of David, but he's also the root of David's tree. He's the Lord of David. An amazing testimony to Jesus' humanity. He's the branch from David, but he's also the root of David. He's the Lord of David, his divinity. He's a great one. That's why the word lion is used. The lion is the king of beasts. Well, Jesus is the king of the church, the king of the nations. And he has triumphed, he has conquered, and he's worthy to come to the throne and take the scroll and open it and distribute its contents. But how did this great lion conquer? Did he crouch and roar and sink his teeth into Satan and sin? No, and here's the fourth thing that John sees. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. This is how the Lion of the tribe of Judah conquered, by becoming a lamb who laid down his life and took our place in the punishment. And the sin and punishment under the wrath of God, under the curse we deserve. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. That's how Jesus conquered. Not by the fireworks of military might, but through the weakness of crucifixion. And for us, congregation, to become worthy of God and to receive that redemption that is read out of that will and testament of God, that scroll. For us to receive that blessing, our sins must be conquered. And our punishment must be conquered. And our offenses must be conquered. And our death must be conquered. And our hell must be conquered. And it has been through Christ, who conquered in our place as the lion who became a lamb. And if you believe in him, the blessings of God will be unleashed upon your life. and already are now, and will continue to be so until you reach glory. You will overcome in Him. What a combination. The lion is the lamb, and the lamb is the lion. Jonathan Edwards said that this is the balance of holy character that every Christian should strive for, that we have lion-like strength and at the same time lamb-like gentleness, even as our Lord Jesus Christ saved us that way. That we have lion-like majesty and mixed with lamb-like meekness. Is that what you pray for? Let it be known that when you adore the Lamb and worship Him, His character will also overtake your life more and more. Jesus conquered, not by destroying His enemies, but by dying for them. He suffered and was slain because He put the eternal well-being of others, even His enemies, ahead of His own earthly good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all power, honor, blessing, and glory. Now notice another thing about this lamb. It sounds really weird. Remember, it's a vision. But the lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. The seven horns. Horns stand for the strength of kings in the Bible. He's got sevenfold strength, fullness of strength as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's got seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent unto all the earth. He's the fullness of God's Spirit. He sees all His people all over the world. He goes and gathers them through His Spirit from all across the nations. That's the glory of Jesus Christ, who was crucified and raised from the dead. And now exalted to God's right hand. What a Savior. He's gathering sinners from every tribe and language and people and nation. Through His seven eyes, His sevenfold Spirit, who's going out into all the earth. This King is a strong King, and His Spirit is worldwide. When you think of Him, congregation, as the one with seven horns, fullness of strength, you know who to run to when you're very weak, when you're facing temptation and you think, I can't say no. Or when you're facing struggles, troubles, worries, and you feel unable to cope and unable to go through. There's a place for you to run, and there's a fortress for you to hide, and there's strength for you in your time of need. The lion lamb, the one who's absolutely powerful and majestic, and at the same time, so meek and gentle that He receives every needy soul, no matter how unworthy you've become by your sin. When you confess that sin and come to Him, He loves to receive sinners. And then one last thing. John saw this lamb take the scroll. He went, verse 7, and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. What good news! How this puts an end to John's weeping and misery and to ours, and brings us instead into freedom and joy. There's somebody who's worthy to open the scroll of God's redemption plan and to unleash the blessings of His inheritance upon us and His judgments upon the wicked. And to destroy Satan's kingdom. There's victory. There's triumph. There's overcoming. Wow. The Lamb of God takes the scroll. That one action there. Verse 7. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. Brothers and sisters, that is our redemption. That moment. For He has overcome, He's conquered, He takes the scroll, and now He's ready to read the last will and testament of God for His people, and read out upon our lives, upon His church, victory over persecution, lukewarmness, false doctrine, all the troubles that the seven churches face, representing all the troubles that all His churches face over all time. And then we understand why, in the second place in this passage, there is worship. as soon as he came and took the scroll. Verse 8, when he had taken it, heaven literally erupted with praises to God. It's the power of the gospel. The gospel changes us from fear and misery to joy and praise. There's an eruption of joy, an eruption of praise. And as we already pointed out last week, this praise comes in three waves. It starts with the four living creatures and the 24 elders. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth, or it's in the present. They reign on the earth. It's a new song, sung by the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Remember, the four living creatures are angelic beings. They're spirit creatures who have no form, but they're symbolized here as creatures that have one the face of a lion, one the face of an ox, another of a flying eagle, another the face of a man. And these are the ones who guard God's throne and they lead God's praises. And remember, the 24 elders symbolize the 12 tribes of the old covenant, the 12 apostles of the Lamb of the new covenant, the whole church across all history, old covenant, new covenant church. And they burst forth into praises to the Lamb. And they praise him for his worthiness. You are worthy to take the scroll. And secondly, they praise him for his blood. You were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. With his blood, he purchased us not just from sin and death, but for God, to make us God's prized possession, and God's beloved children, and to make us the apple of his eye. Think about that. The worthiness of Jesus can cover all your unworthiness in the sight of God and make you fit for God. I'm reminded of what Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says to them, you know, once you were lost. You were lost in sexual immorality, in idolatry. You were lost in homosexuality. You were lost in thievery and greed and drunkenness and all manner of corruption. You were lost. But now you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are worthy of God now. Absolutely nothing we have done, writes one author. Absolutely nothing we have done in our life that is wrong, unworthy, nasty, unclean, or impure disqualifies us to apply to the blood of the Lamb. You are invited also to sing the song that they sing. And notice another thing that they sang. They belong to a church that covers every tribe and language and people and nation. The church, brothers and sisters, has no place for racism or racial superiority of any kind. For many of us, that's in our history, to look down on other peoples as less gifted and less valuable and less special in God's eyes. But God does not look upon any of his people that way. No matter what language, what color, what tribe, what nation, we're all equally sinful. We're all equally saved by grace and all equally filled by his Holy Spirit to serve him equally as a kingdom of priests. Whether Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, you're all one in Christ Jesus. And that's the last thing they praise him for in this first wave of praise. The 24 elders and the four living creatures. By his blood, he made us a kingdom of priests to serve our God. In Christ, we're a kingdom of priests. And that means, brothers and sisters, that just like the priests in the Old Testament, we're allowed to go into the temple. And we're allowed to offer our sacrifices to God. But now it's not just the priests, all Christians have access to God in his heavenly temple, to gaze upon his beauty, to offer their lives to him in worship, not just on Sundays, but 7 days a week. A kingdom of priests. Martin Luther saw two very important things for Christians here. Number one is the priesthood of all believers. Every Christian, every believer is a priest in the service of God's kingdom, not just the select few. Every Christian is called to offer his or her life to God in spiritual service. It's not that some are in a sacred calling that's higher and some are in a secular calling that's lower and less worthy. Whatever your calling, it's worthy of God. And that's the second thing. The holiness of every lawful calling. Every lawful calling is sacred and priestly in the eyes of God. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the artist, the engineer, the trucker, the farmer, the pastor, the homemaker. In all of it, we are to devote our lives and our energy and our decisions and our work to God. Not just on Sundays, but all week long. Think of that. You're a kingdom of priests. And there's one more aspect to their worship. Each one had a harp. And they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And the prayers of the saints are extremely important as the book of Revelation unfolds. We'll be able to spend more time on that later in the book. But the plan of redemption written on the scroll unleashes upon the people of God in answer to the prayers of the saints. So it's not that the saints are just waiting for the blessings to be poured out and for the kingdom of Satan to be destroyed. No, they long for it and they pray for it. And that's the golden bowls of incense. It's the prayers of the saints through which what's promised in the scroll is unleashed upon the saints. Your prayers are so important. Well, then we have the second and the third waves of praise. Then I looked, verse 11, and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Seven things listed there. Worthy is the Lamb to receive total, full praise. The angels participate in the worship of the Lamb. And then the third wave of praise. All creation participates. Verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Jesus came to redeem the whole world. To bring all creation back into the praise of God. Sin put the world under a curse. Put the world away from God. Distanced the world from him. But Jesus rescued us from that curse. So the whole world again surrounds the throne of God with praise. And that's what we look forward to. And the new heavens and the new earth will be not one voice of opposition. Nothing that is a hindrance to the glory of God. God will be all in all. And then the last verse, the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Now we get to the outside circle. First John sees the throne. Then there's the four living creatures singing, holy, holy, holy. Then there's the 24 elders that are praising God, falling down before the throne. Then there are myriads upon myriads of angels. And then there's all creation erupts in praise. And then it goes back to the center again. The four living creatures said, amen. The elders now fell down and worshiped. And it's like waves and it keeps going back and forth. And that is what it is to be a Christian and to join in the eternal praise of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. May the Lion Lamb be the focus of all our prayers and our praises. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this ceaseless and endless praise that we may offer to you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are the worthy Lamb of God. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We praise you that you conquered our sin and our unworthiness. Now you are worthy to open the scroll. And the church across the world to this day is experiencing the blessings that are written, the redemption that has been decreed. And We pray that that work will continue to the end. You will continue to gather a people for yourself. Lord Jesus, you will continue to build your church and not allow the gates of hell to prevail against her. Father, we pray that you will bless us. In the rest of this Lord's Day, we ask for a blessing upon our Sunday school classes. We ask, Lord, that you will also bless the residents at Craigwheel who are not able to have service today. We pray that you will comfort them in the time of outbreak and protect them. That you'll bless our brother John Vandertill, who must spend this Lord's Day in the hospital. Protect and renew and strengthen him. Father, receive our praises. And we ask that you will bless us in the rest of this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.